Hello, this is OWU Radio, and I'm Scott Payne. With us tonight is Shamita Rahman, Orvija Rishi, and my mom, Susan Zirl. Tonight we'll be talking about the issues in Syria, and just all the horrible things happening in the world. So,
also today is March 25th, 2016. We're Bishops in a Bottle, and thank you for tuning into OWU Radio.
Yeah.
So, Syria.
Yeah.
I think before Syria, let's talk about Brussels and Istanbul and
Do we
Ankara.
Want to go chronologically today? I mean, starting with, let's say, Ankara happened.
Mm-hmm.
And that didn't get much media coverage. We didn't.
How many people died in Ankara?
I believe over 20 people
mm-hmm.
died, and I think there were a lot of injuries.
Yeah.
In the hundreds.
Yeah.
And then Istanbul was another wave of attacks.
28 people died.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And Turkey's been having these attacks pretty regularly for at least even in just the past 3 months.
Yeah.
We've seen a lot of recurring attacks within Turkey.
Of course. But the people orchestrating these attacks in Turkey are different from those orchestrating the attacks in France and Belgium.
Yes, and also no, because you don't really know the loyalties of the Turkish Kurds at this point.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know who they want to side with. Kurds in Syria are the ones being supported by the U.S. and the ones who are getting an office in Moscow. But
mm-hmm.
the ones in Turkey are in an entirely different group, and they have been known to engage in terrorist activity and just, like, violent activity.
But we're not entirely sure, and we can't really say that the intentions of the PKK and the Kurdish people in Turkey are the same as the intentions of ISIS.
But we can't also say that there are no linkages between
terror
them.
Is terror regardless of who's doing it. And I mean, whether it's America's on-ground allies in Syria or it's, you know, ISIS, terror is terror. And if their people are dying, it's
and
bad.
These are innocent
well,
people.
Well, I never
no,
said
I'm
that this
saying,
was good.
I'm
I never said that this
good.
Was acceptable. I'm just...
I mean, I wasn't...
What is the argument here that...
I mean, I think that most of these are literally just
attention-seeking
events because they need to, like, have their voice out there, and this is probably one of the least constructive ways to be doing this. Because,
mm-hmm.
let's be honest, how much attention even... Okay, Turkey isn't getting a lot of media attention from the world anyway. Within Turkey, these people are being condemned as terrorists. So it's really not forwarding their case or their cause at all by acting like this. Like, the chances of even coming to a power-sharing agreement with the Turkish government have been dramatically reduced because these people are constantly, like, in charge of... It's very reminiscent of the IRA in Northern Ireland.
Mm-hmm.
So it's similar to the Chechnyans in Russia.
Yeah.
I mean, let's not go to the Chechnyans because that's just another... They actually have a legitimate claim.
Do they?
Don't
I,
they?
I,
the Caucasus should have been independent.
I don't think so.
You were born in Russia, you're biased.
I personally don't think that the Chechnyans are no more than legitimate than the PKK in Turkey. And to say that
Chechnyans were oppressed under the Soviet government.
So
they have... legitimate claims to separatism.
And they only pursued this, like, through violence, just...
Actually, you're wrong on that. There are actual reports saying that the Russian, not just the Russian, the Soviet government has been cracking down on the people of the Caucasus since before they even decided to, like, fight for anything. And this is something that's been going on
I'm
since before the Russian Revolution.
I'm not saying they've been unfairly treated, but I mean, I'm just saying they've been pretty violent and this whole...
They've been violent because they've been given cause to be violent.
And, I mean, that is
legitimate.
You can say that about everyone.
Yeah. You can't really say that about the Turkish Kurds, because back in the early 2000s, they want the Turkish government, when it was slightly more moderate and not like Erdogan's whatever regime, current regime, they actually did want to come to a power-sharing agreement with the Turkish Kurds. The Russians, on the other hand, have always been oppressive of the Chechens, and I genuinely believe that the Chechens had a legitimate claim at their violence.
To terrorism?
Not terrorism. It wasn't terrorism. That is a Russian...
How is that not terrorism? They were attacking people in subway... Like, you know, like, there were shootings, there's been shootings, there's been bombings, a lot of cocktails. Like, I mean, like, these are acts of terrorism, whether warranted or not warranted.
I think when, like, we talk about terrorism, who we call terrorists and who we call revolutionaries is so subjective, and it's all dependent on
the Syrian army is currently called terrorists by the Assad regime and Russia versus America, who they're allies.
Yeah.
For America. And
it all depends on whose side you're on,
freedom,
and it all depends on who's winning.
There's a blurry line between freedom fighters and terrorists.
Yeah.
And it really depends on how you're going to look at it, but I mean, Chechnya is just a sticky subject.
Yeah.
For another day.
Okay. So, moving on to, like, Brussels, and I mean, this has already been covered by the media so much, like, extensively. I'm not saying it's wrongly done so or anything, but I mean, like, what do you think of the whole Brussels situation? And I've, like, recent updates show that one of the Brussels bombers has been injured by the Belgian police,
mm-hmm.
and they believe that they're very closely connected to the Paris bombers, too. So, what's your whole take on the Brussels attack and, like, the future of Europe?
I think unless quick action is taken, I'm afraid of what might be the future of Europe. Mom?
Well, what I see now, it is very scary. Why isn't it scary when it happened to Turkey? I don't know why we're seeing it. I think just the media hops on France and Belgium as very, you know, places where there was a lot of tourism and travel before. And so that's up on alert, because their economy is now going to be severely affected. I mean, that's always, I know here in the States, it's always like the optimum place to go visit was to travel Europe.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're making us scared to go there. So this is an economic issue where people weren't really running to travel in Chechnya or Turkey or those places, you know. But, everyone's going
to
spend their American hard-earned dollar to go to France to see the Eiffel Tower, and now nobody wants to go there. That's going to be significant.
Yeah, that added with the refugee pressures that these countries are already, already going to have. Speaking of which, I mean, Poland's closing down borders and Hungary, too.
But the interesting thing, just going back to Brussels for a second, the interesting thing was the timing, which is really suspect as far as I'm concerned, because it felt like this is, and I may not be the only one who believes this, that this is something that these were sleeper cells in Brussels who were,
mm-hmm.
like, pretty much in charge of planning out and carrying out these attacks. And as soon as the authorities started cracking down on the person who was responsible for the Paris attacks, I feel like this was an acceleration of something that had been planned for the future. We're just moving around some furniture.
And why? I mean, do you feel like it was rushed? Do you feel like it was rushed to get it
I feel done? Like it was done very purposefully for this timing. And I don't think it was planned for this, because I feel like they were afraid of being caught, because the authorities were, cracking down.
They were already cracking down on
these
cells,
people,
and especially Brussels. And so,
they just kind of went with it, because they figured if they're going to crack down, we might as well just
do something. Do something while the Paris thing is still fresh on people's
minds.
And
considering this was 2 days after that guy, the Belgian guy, was...
Right. Why wasn't that on high alert of, that whole neighborhood should have been cracked down on? I don't get that.
I guess they're, and like how, it's really hard to predict
how,
still.
Yeah, how it happened in itself was just so sad, too, because the first bomb went off in the airport near the security areas, and when people started running towards the exit, that's where the second bomb went off, in near the exit, because they knew people would rush there, and like, sure, I mean, I'm not saying this is, like, great planning or anything, but, I mean, they did put
it's
a certain...
It's horrible.
They did put a certain level of thought behind it, and, like, it's kind of,
I mean, this is their job, is to create, like,
yeah,
terror.
But it's scary when you think about, like, something like this
yeah.
happening again.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
possibly more times, and considering both, like, CNN, AP, Reuters, they all had their sources coming in, like just, these are all just, like, not confirmed, like, information, but, like, sources pouring in saying that there's possibly 400 militants being trained for attacks.
Separate attacks in Europe.
I'm a bit doubtful about the number.
Yeah.
400 trained terrorists seems a little excessive, even for ISIS.
Yeah,
but
attacks over the next 2 months,
well,
apparently.
And it's interesting because those two brothers in Brussels, for example, they weren't quote-unquote ISIS militants. They were just thugs.
And
they were just, I mean, how do you get recruited not having that mindset? How do you get recruited to blow yourself up?
And how do we watch, like, who might get recruited?
Yeah.
Because a lot, and, like, look at what happened in California,
mm-hmm.
where these people, you know, they only had ISIS sympathies, but you can't, like, you know, like,
crack down on everyone
that, like, and, like, how do you know what people are, like, aside from social media, you really have no idea, like, oh, well, these people are.
And especially the brothers. This is not like you can track their telephone calls. They're living together. They're talking with one another inside their home.
Yeah.
Or cousins and brothers. And that's what's getting to be kind of scary. Like, look at the Boston Marathon guys. They were brothers. So you can't crack down on that.
Yeah, husband and wife. And
you
demographics of terrorists are changing. It's not
mm-hmm.
just Middle Eastern men anymore. These are women. These are Caucasians. There's
mm-hmm.
Caucasians who are supporting this and are like...
Jihadi John.
Yeah, Jihadi John and all of these things. So you can't even... All the things about, you know, racial profiling and all of that won't even work anymore because these
are
moving beyond demographics and race and language
and
religion.
I mean, and what did Brussels accomplish?
Just
what for them blowing that up, what was their point? Like, oh, we're going to be on alert. You guys have to be on alert. Everyone, I mean...
They want fear.
Yeah.
What does it get to?
These Muslim extremists, they still think we're living in the 8th century AD. They think yesterday was, you know, like, was when the Abbasid Empire started, like, they still think this is conquest.
I mean,
and they still think that the crew...
This is the way they
talk
want
about,
to spread
fear
this is the way they want to spread fear, spread hatred, and even in a sick way, they want to spread their religion through this violence.
I don't think it's about religion anymore.
Sure,
it's called Islamic State.
To its people, to the people that are being convinced to, like, you, like, you know, my mom just asked, how is someone convinced to kill themselves for this?
I don't get it. I mean,
Whether or not these leaders genuinely believe that this is their, which, I mean, how can you honestly,
like,
believe that a religion is fundamental?
You know, like, the whole polarizing effect that's taking place when you hate people, when you talk to these people and show them what the West is doing to their homes, what the West is doing to this. I mean, you go out to fight when you have a cause that you believe in, and I think what they believe in right now is very far removed from the core beliefs of Islam.
It's far removed, but
it's more like they want to get rid of everything other than them.
They've been demonizing the West as much as we've been demonizing them, and they're going on the basis of that. And, like, at the more things that they do, the more we do to them, and it's just this spherical...
Yeah, and you have to realize how these narratives collide with each other. These people will listen to Donald Trump on American media saying things like, I don't want to let Muslims in, or we want them to carry cards around.
Yeah.
And they will show it to these people who will become recruits for them because they see unfair behavior against their religion. So this is like a cyclical thing. They do an act of hatred. There's a retaliating act of hatred, and it just
then keeps... What's the answer?
But, yeah, but I don't think that...
Rationality that no one's, frankly...
It's very destructive, yeah. And there is
rationality gets blurred within political rhetorics. And
rationality gets blurred with passivism and with... I think
to be a proper balance.
It's not about pacifism. I think that, you know, if you're thinking rationally about things, your constituents and your country will think of you as, you know, oh, he's not being hard on the terrorists, and so, you know.
And I realize that, but this, and I know that everything is about politics at the end of the day, and even especially right now in America with the. Elections and everything, these people have to cater to a certain audience, but also the long-term ramifications of that are extremely damaging, because these sorts of statements are basically creating and aggrandizing your own enemy.
So do you think
this is fodder for ISIS?
Do you think we're capable of this rational thought if we live in democracies?
I mean, democracy was built on reason and rational thought. So,
is it?
Isn't it?
I don't think it is.
I mean, democracy was there, so there could be contradicting opinion, but this was supposed to bring forth the truth. After arguing and after everything, you were supposed to reach a point in conclusion.
Free discourse was supposed to lead to the best solution.
Yeah.
I think,
if
the people are scared and they think irrationally, and the people are choosing an irrational person to lead them, then this just breeds more, and just breeds more.
Yeah, and like
just terrorism.
There is this article that was talking about how the main goal of the Brussels thing was to just breed more hatred,
mm-hmm.
so they can forward their narrative of hatred, right? And I mean. This will just keep going on, and how much further, the more you hate them, the more you're letting them, have that power on us. I mean, it's when you bug a little, when you're a child and you, poke at someone, and as long as they're getting irritated, you keep poking them. If they stop caring, that's when you stop, because you can't...
But how do you stop caring here?
How do you ignore that?
Yeah. How do you ignore people dying on a weekly basis?
I'm not saying ignore people dying. I'm saying to keep forwarding that rhetoric of hatred when you're not forwarding, nationalistic,
That's why I liked what Kasich said, that... This isn't about we're not at war with Islam, which is probably one of the smartest things I've heard mm-hmm. from a Republican in a long time. Mm-hmm. Apologies to anyone who's a Republican supporter. But he said we're not at war with Islam, we're at war with radical Islam, and we're at war with terrorists. And we shouldn't mm-hmm. discriminate against a huge group of people.
And just anyone of color, frankly,
Yeah, it's not even about being Muslim anymore. Anyone who's...
It's about being not Western.
Yeah, I mean, sure, I'm not saying that security should be compromised over, privacy and just respect, but security comes first. Sure, let's say that. But how are people not supposed to feel attacked and, invaded when, you're going to be, stopping them every time when you're crossing the airport or anywhere based on skin color or just
random selection.
Random selections for questioning.
Yeah.
How do you not feel demonized when a place that you go to so often keeps treating you like an outsider?
I mean, I don't think, the issue with this, with terrorism now, it appears to be a lot more difficult and a lot less black and white than the Cold War, because now we have what we do now, we were fighting with ideologies in the Cold War, but
there was a geographical bounds, is what I'm trying to say.
We don't know.
It's not countries fighting countries anymore, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, it's not countries fighting countries anymore. Now these are non-state actors who actually should not have any legitimate political power, but do. And that's and the fact that terrorism is becoming a weekly occurrence and people are becoming okay with it. The collective unconscious is getting used to
every morning. Every morning you wake up and you see
breaking news.
So many people have been killed, and then you wake up. Oh, interesting.
Oh, this is a daily occurrence, and I realize that we're living in safer times than we ever have, but the past 100 years of political history have been all about international cooperation. And it's really sad to see that breaking down entirely like this because of these people who really have no legitimate claim at power or anything.
Well, they don't have a voice in something, you know, like the United Nations, or I mean, what do we hear about the United Nations? Nobody has come out from that organization.
I guess we don't hear about it because this is happening within Syria, and they can't intervene because the sovereignty of the country is at question. Even though ISIS is a non-state actor, the United Nations can't go in until asked.
Right.
But can they make statements?
They can, and I think they do, but they can't have any tangible impact without the member states.
I mean, they've had the talks in Geneva about, like, the ceasefires and everything, and nobody really respected them, neither America nor Russia.
Lately that I've seen about them is, you know, talking about climate change. And it's like, really? We've got something a little more severe right now that's happening that's going to destroy the world over climate change. So, I know.
The race to what destroys the world first.
Yeah. Oh, well. Either way, we're just killing ourselves.
Clearly. In one way or the other.
Yeah, one way or the other.
Yeah, I mean, clearly, I hope things don't go terribly. I mean, hoping is like the best we can do.
And also to look out. I mean, to really be vigilant and look out. You know, amongst your own neighborhoods. I mean, not that you want to be like, you know, guerrilla warfare here, but I mean, you really all the communities have to kind of get together. I mean, to combat these extremists in any part of the world. We had Timothy McVeigh blow up Oklahoma City bombing. You know, that was a white male. There's extremists everywhere, and we just have to be vigilant against this violent nature that we seem to be coming
absolutely
into.
Yeah, I think at times like this, like as like cheesy as it sounds, it's more important to be united than divided. And
recognize that these are divisive tactics meant to create like divisions within society. And I know you can't negotiate with terrorists, but for how long are bombs and drones and guns and soldiers going to work?
I think the old way of America is saying we don't negotiate with terrorists.
America negotiated with the IRA, dude.
Yeah.
What's his name? That guy was called to the White House. He was supposed to have been part of the IRA's violent arm, responsible for several bombing shootings throughout Belfast in the 60s and the 70s, and he was called to the White House. So clearly America does negotiate with terrorists.
When
I mean,
it's
I'm,
in their benefit.
Oh, I mean, yeah. I'm not saying when, ISIS when, is when, like
when,
the IRA.
When it's terrorizing us, as we can know.
Sure, ISIS is way more brutal than the IRA ever was, but there needs to be some sort of conversation. This will not be sorted out with bombing them or, like, taking out terrorists.
Bombing innocent people that have no defense at all.
Yeah, Damascus is now, like, it's dust.
That's the thing.
It's quite literally just pulverized.
Like, with negotiating or just pure diplomacy, how do you achieve diplomacy with people who think they're the messiahs of God bringing the end of the world?
The thing is, like, the other alternative doesn't work either, because these people are not in the Middle East anymore. Yeah. They're in Paris, they're in Brussels, they're probably all over Europe and in America too. Mm-hmm. So do you bomb then California? Do you bomb Paris? Do you bomb Brussels? Do you bomb Amsterdam? No, you don't.
We gotta bomb as many places
you don't.
As we
That's
can,
not so. How you kill ideology. And So I'm not saying I know the right balance to achieve. Yeah. I'm just saying that it's not going to work either.
It's crazy because we've all the social media, and they're not going to the social media. I mean, start it in that kind of way, but they've got to bomb innocent people to make a statement.
Well,
I think statement's backfiring.
I think, like, one of the great things about our time was, this period that was the Arab Spring. I think that the fact that Twitter and Facebook were capable of creating
an entire revolution through a subplot.
Revolutions, yeah. In Libya, in Syria, in Egypt, in all these places, they were capable of uniting the people that felt oppressed and creating this sort of dialogue and this discussion of the. The problem was when the governments tried to suppress that. And I think that, you know, everything started with a peaceful protest until, you know, people stopped listening.
I mean, I'm sure they have their own narrative to why they're right, and, like, but that still doesn't, I mean, that's the sad thing, that I'm sure they have their own reasonings and their own
grievances,
but it still doesn't
justify
taking innocent lives.
No,
and nothing's
absolutely
gonna justify
not.
That. And I'm sure there will be some terrorists who justify their current actions with some narrative about how America bombed them or someone in their family died. It's been inundated in, like, pop culture, these kinds of stories, and, like, how people turn fundamentalist. But again, violence with violence doesn't solve anything. Sorry to quote Mahatma Gandhi, but an eye for an eye makes the whole world go blind.
Oh,
I mean, I am Indian.
But yeah. Well,
disclaimer.
Yeah. Maybe we should move to...
Do we want to...
Russia.
Russia moving out of
Syria.
Yeah. Well,
I don't think it's permanent.
Yeah, it's going to take 5 months for the troops to move out. And just to keep things, like, you know, just to keep
interesting,
Putin's going to have people stationed, like, just in the Syrian borders next to Turkey.
Yeah.
Just there, not everywhere else, just over there, you know, like, in case Syria needs help.
Putin has chosen Turkey as, you know, testing ground for,
no,
you know, trying NATO's, you know.
I mean, like, it could be seen as a potential, you know, aggression against NATO too, having Russian troops in Turkey. But at this point
they
in time,
Russian troops not in Turkey, like, not enough for it to count as a sort of aggressive sort of position or anything, but on the Syrian borders by Cyprus, you know, that area. So not exactly on that border next to Turkey, so not enough for NATO to...
Even
have
then, this
yeah.
is still right at the borders
mm-hmm.
of the EU, technically.
Yeah.
Does the EU want Russia that close, Russian
mm-hmm.
troops that close?
I mean, the EU's happy that Russia's leaving the area, and Russia's planning to even pull out those troops by the 9-month mark. And within the 5-month mark, they want to have all on land, like inland, like troops.
This
off.
Isn't. The thing is, the more this thing escalates, and it's likely to get worse before it gets better,
mm-hmm.
the more likely it is that we'll see different kinds of troops there. Like, I know there are American
yeah.
troops there currently. I know there are some NATO troops also, mm-hmm. if I'm
I
not
think
mistaken.
Putin doesn't
Special
have the funding.
Forces.
To keep Russia in there for that
but
long.
But he also
and
doesn't want to pull out completely.
Yeah, yeah,
it's too...
Wanna, yeah.
it's
he doesn't
not
want to look weak. He wants to pull out while he's still strong in the field. He's like, I think we're good. We're going to pull out. Let's
we
not
did what we achieved what we yeah, came here
yeah.
for.
Yeah.
Is
did he ever resolve that horrible the bomb on the plane? I mean, the
oh,
plane
what
that
happened,
went down?
Like a week ago?
Yeah. No, no. Like,
no,
it happened like 2 months ago.
Turkey.
The Ukrainian plane?
No, the Turkey shooting down that Russian
plane.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah. That never got any resolve, did
no,
it? Like,
that just went, that disappeared.
Oh, what happened in Thanksgiving was...
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Wasn't, I mean, what did Putin do for that? I'm surprised he didn't
I think he's picking his
anyway.
Battles.
I mean, he's been...
Oh.
messing with Turkey ever since that's happened.
Yeah, I mean, like the whole power play with keeping those troops on the Turkish border. I think he wanted
to take Turkey to the International Court of Justice.
But
also,
but I mean, at this point,
but does he really have any credibility in the International Court of Justice?
Putin never agreed to the Ukrainian shooting down of the plane, so like Putin can't be the one talking about, like, you know.
Yeah, he doesn't have a lot of moral precedent to be accusing people.
And plus, I think probably he's picked on Turkey enough to have some sort of a little, like, relish in, like, you know, about the whole
Turkey thing. The Turkey thing was basically, don't mess with me.
Yeah,
it's like a schoolyard bullying. You pick the kid to, you know, like, mess with, exactly, and then everyone else is afraid of you. So
basically,
like,
nobody's gonna go near Russia now, or even dare. Even America's been pretty restrained in its, like, dealings with Russia over
Russia
there.
Replacing itself in the
trying to. I mean, it's really hard to say
where it'll go, but yeah, I know. Like, I mean, for me, I feel like Russia's making an attempt to get back in the game.
After it is.
The Soviet Union fell. It's been almost, like, what, 30 years since the...
Almost
30 years.
25-ish.
91.
Okay, yeah, 25 years since the Soviet Union fell. And, like, I mean, Russia's trying to make a comeback, and it's going to take, I mean, it's...
A long time, yeah.
It's going to take
25 years is nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's going to take a while for it to be
probably the funniest, sorry to digress, but probably the funniest little meme that I saw recently was was over Thanksgiving, and it was in Russian Thanksgiving, turkey shoots you.
Yeah, that was a funny one. I saw that. But I think Russia doesn't have the economic power to be getting up there anytime soon.
I think Russia's going to have little stints over the next couple of years versus...
I can see Russia trying to exert power in, like, bursts.
Yeah.
Oh, we have money right now, so I'm just going to use all of it.
Remember us. Remember us.
We're we're still strong, and we can still bomb you.
Yeah, I think it's just going to be coming in little stints till they get their things sorted out. Well,
they get their economy sorted out.
Will they go
with the price of oil?
Yeah,
that's what's holding a lot of people back.
Yeah, oil prices are still.
Although OPEC is planning to actually.
Have you heard about Venezuela's
their
currency?
Economy?
It's gone.
Their currency
happens to them every time.
Yeah, but this time especially, they're like.
No, they take harder hits
every
time the price of oil.
Yeah.
But they're actually planning to stagnate the supply of oil.
Yeah, OPEC is planning to, like,
actually unilaterally just stagnate.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Which could unprecedented. Like, nobody expected that they would actually move that quickly, but at this point, I think they need to.
They don't have a choice. Really.
They really don't.
OPEC and Russia. And
OPEC and Russia, and even potentially Iran. Which is the wild card, as always.
Yeah. Oh, Iran.
Oh, Iran.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, what else do we have for last week, though? Like,
We have the obvious.
Yeah, we have the very obvious.
The looming.
Do we want to go to it already?
Dun, dun, dun,
dun.
Yes. Do we want to go to it already, or do we want to talk about something
else? Let's just do
let's
it.
Just,
are we just gonna go
let's just jump right into it.
Okay, so U.S. politics.
Okay.
Who do you want to start us off, Scott? On
the Pledge of Allegiance?
Do you want to
pledge
fealty?
The
pledge
of fealty, to Donald Trump. But yeah, it's looking crazy.
Yeah, I mean, let me just do a countdown for the delegates for now. For Donald Trump has 738 delegates. Ted Cruz has 463. Marco Rubio's dropped out. That's something we can talk about. And Kasich has 143. And for the Democrats, Hillary Clinton has 1,223 and Bernie Sanders has 920.
Bernie Sanders has gone up.
Yeah,
that's a surprise.
And Bernie Sanders is suing the DNC.
Yes, I heard about that.
He's
for
suing
Arizona.
The Democratic National Committee for
Arizona.
Voter fraud.
For Arizona.
Oh, Arizona.
Yeah,
yeah, because they shut down all those locations for people to vote.
Yeah.
They went from 200 to like 60 places.
Yeah.
And I think there was just like... Some
in Massachusetts, Bill Clinton was at the polling gates, and then they slowed down polling so So Bill Clinton would get to talk to the voters before they went in, which isn't fair because Hillary Clinton should be illegal. Yeah, that should be illegal because even though it's not Hillary Clinton there, it's her spouse, and obviously he's...
It's her spouse who was a former U.S. president.
Former U.S. president, and, like, frankly, it really doesn't seem fair.
I mean, for U.S. presidents, they're considered, you know, national treasures.
Yeah.
Like, for someone like that to be... at the polls endorsing someone, I think is...
I mean, but people have to realize he doesn't have a choice but to endorse her at this point.
Well, I mean, but...
I mean, Bill Clinton stuck. Yeah. He made his choice with Monica Lewinsky.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, and Hillary made her choice, unfortunately, with staying with him.
Yeah. I think that's one of the saddest things about her.
I feel like that's just something that I've... don't want to judge her character for. I mean, it's
I don't
want to
judge her
and like,
character.
You don't judge her character as a woman. You judge her character as an individual who is.
I don't judge her character for staying with him. It's not because she stayed with him. It's the fact that she never, ever said anything against him.
What are you supposed to say against him? You can't dish out the dirt for the entire world to listen.
But the entire world knew is the thing. How are people not supposed to look at her and wonder?
You don't have to talk about your side of it for the entire world. If she wanted to not talk about it beyond just acknowledging that it happened and she's choosing to stay with him, I think she's in full liberty.
She never acknowledged that it happened.
She did acknowledge it happened because she referred to Monica Lewinsky as that other woman and called her a cartoon. Yeah.
Hillary
Clinton has enough flaws without the Monica Lewinsky thing to bring on to.
Right, and even if the Monica Lewinsky wasn't there, she would, I don't know. Yeah, like
she said,
I don't know what their partnership/marriage is.
But and regardless of her marriage, I don't see her holding anything sacred.
Yeah, I don't.
Okay, Hillary Clinton, you don't know what she's going to do.
Yeah.
You really
don't. All she cares about is power, and that's...
Yeah.
Well, she wants to be that first woman president, and that's what she set her goals on, I think, a long, long time ago.
Yeah.
And a lot of people have promised her this.
She's
been groomed for this since you.
Yeah.
Yes.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wonder how the... Bernie Sanders suing the DNC is going to go though.
It seems like a pretty harsh...
goes well because in Arizona when the first 30% of the votes came in, they were all pro Bernie, and then they had that shutoff thing, and then they cut off I think they cut off a lot of the voting centers.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, and after those voting centers were cut off, and they came back on live, and then Hillary was leading, and how is that? And that's the thing. Every time there are issues in the voting centers, Hillary somehow wins them. Whether it's a coin toss that lets you win and whatnot, Hillary Clinton ends up winning every time there are technical difficulties. And, I mean, I'm not saying Bernie Sanders has to win or anything or that, you know,
at least
it
should
unfair.
Be a free election.
Yeah, it should be a proper election that isn't...
Let's not make a farce out of democracy in America.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's sad. I mean, I'm not going to say what everyone says, oh, no, Bernie Sanders deserves it. I'm not saying Bernie Sanders deserved this.
But he does deserve a fighting chance.
He's got to have at least a fighting chance.
I mean, people should have their choices be heard, and that's the important thing.
You said that, you know, this was promised to Hillary, I think. Mm-hmm. And it's not fair. I mean, nobody else ran against her except that.
Martin O'Malley.
The most irrelevant person.
Yeah,
some
guy named Martin O'Malley comes out of the woodwork, and then Bernie Sanders, bless his heart, he does it. I'm very happy about
that.
Someone had to challenge her.
Yeah.
No one else challenged her.
And Bernie actually does have a fighting chance, and
I hope so.
He's
only
300.
He's only 300. Delegates behind, but mm-hmm. Clinton does have 467 super delegates in her bag. So, but they can go either way.
Yeah, I mean, I would have liked to have seen, you know, Biden.
Yeah,
I think it would have been a real race.
Yeah.
I mean, you can say the Republicans. There's a lot of craziness on that side, but at least a lot of people jumped in on that, and let's siphon out
who, well, who's going to... Well, I mean, it also shows just how divided the Republicans are at this point, if they can't...
And the Democrats are just like sheep. Oh, Hillary, 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 yeah. Hillary.
I think Biden would have actually given Hillary a run for her money.
I would have loved it.
Yeah.
I
mean,
Biden would have lot of, like, Obama supporters would have gone for Biden.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And I think he would have just generally been able to bring
a lot of people together.
He would have carried on the Obama legacy, essentially. Yeah.
Well, and built on it and just be like the voice of reason for all this craziness. But, I mean, can you imagine him against all this craziness that's happening out right now? Everyone would be going to Biden.
Yeah.
I think just the Democratic Party has been telling Hillary for too long that next time, next
she's like,
time.
Oh,
I mean, she was forced to drop out in 2012.
And
2008. Yeah.
For
Obama. She never ran in 2012.
She didn't?
No.
I didn't know that.
Well, 2000.
I think they. I think when she was made Secretary of State, there was a backroom meeting that was like, listen,
you're going to get it.
In 2016, we'll give it to you.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
This is horrible. Yeah. It's so House of Cards like.
Yeah.
I've never seen the show.
It's a fun show.
It's a good show.
No, I feel like I hope, like, Bernie Sanders has a fighting chance because, like, a world with Hillary Clinton as president just seems really bleak.
What about a world with Donald Trump as president?
That sounds fun as hell.
Well, honestly, you know, if it has to come down to it, I'd have Hillary over Trump.
Rationally, I'd have Hillary.
I'd like to imagine that Trump is just doing this for the votes, and when he's in office, he'll be like, he'll be the most forward-thinking,
benign.
He would be the most progressive and most groundbreaking.
Honestly, I wouldn't even be surprised if he did.
Bring world peace to all nations and people.
After a billion.
Because he has the best words.
Yeah, he has the best words. Yeah. And, you know, like, everyone will stand around the fire singing Kumbaya after carpet bombing, you know, Syria.
And you'll have a 35 to 55 feet wall.
Yeah.
which the Mexicans are also paying for.
Why don't the Canadians get a wall?
Because
it's America.
They're just too sweet. They're nice people.
Not like those rapists and murderers like the Mexicans.
Oh, wow. Like, I love how the former president in Mexico is just like, we're not paying for
that effing wall.
Yeah, he swore.
He swore.
Well, he did swear.
Wow.
You swore.
Yes, he did swear.
Yeah.
He apologized.
You apologized.
I didn't swear.
Yes, you did.
No, you said
just now. I didn't swear.
No.
Oh, okay. Okay.
He said a letter of the alphabet.
Oh, okay. I said a letter of the alphabet.
I thought
you said not a word.
Okay, controversial pause, and let's go back to what we were talking about. Donald Trump didn't apologize. He said, "Well, the wall just got 15 feet taller."
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
Yeah. After.
I didn't hear that. See, now, if we didn't have Donald Trump in this race,
how bored would we be?
It would not. It would be very passive, and no one would be involved. He has gotten this country involved.
Maybe that's his strategy.
I think that's
a good thing.
Yeah.
Like, I haven't been here for any of the last election, but do people generally get this excited
No.
Absolutely not. This is a special
exciting election.
It has never been like this.
I remember the Obama election was interesting when I was younger, but like I remember it was being interesting the first
Black
president.
Yeah. And that's why we all, I voted for Obama the first time. The second time I did not. The first time I did, because I thought it was going to be tremendous for our country. Mm-hmm. The first Black president. I was so honored by it.
After the Bush administration,
I think it needed Obama.
After the Obama administration, who knows? We might feel in 4 years that we needed Trump.
Well, I mean, why not? He gets in. We try it out for 4 years. We can vote him out. But
isn't there a 2 year thing?
No.
What?
Pardon me.
No.
Like a half term thing where
no.
You can't.
We can
unless
impeach.
You get impeached. You can't leave office.
Wait, what is that interim thing that they have for new?
The State of the Union.
No. I forget. No. Like,
There's no probationary period.
Oh, okay. There's no probationary period.
Not for presidency.
Yeah, he's in. He voted in November, and he's, well, he's voted in November and the inauguration. Maybe that's what you're thinking of, between November and January?
I'm not sure. I think
the inauguration's January.
Confusing it with something else, but, like, yeah, I mean, I don't know what Trump will do, though. Like,
he could be the most benign, progressive president America has ever seen.
The New York Times does have that one off-the-record interview that they say will change everything.
Yeah,
that...
I mean, like, he might be this generation's New Deal president, because, you know, he knows the art of the deal.
The New Deal
makes good deals, and he makes
that's
the best
the,
deals.
That's
he makes,
the theme. The New Deal
the
didn't
deals.
Work. It was a failed experiment. People need to realize that.
Well,
I just wanted to make that.
He makes the best words.
He makes the best words.
Isn't his book's name...
The Art of the Deal.
The Art of the Deal.
That's his famous
that's
one.
That's his bestseller.
He and his son are the most cringeworthy people.
So his son, his
Donald
both
Trump
his sons...
Donald Trump Jr. or
yeah.
Eric Trump? Which one?
Both
who was Donald Trump Jr.?
Donald Trump Jr. is his first son.
I've never seen this. Is it the sickly looking one?
No, that's Eric.
They both look like...
Eric is the sickly looking one.
They both look like they've like paid off like a murder that they've committed, like, you know.
Oh my
like
no, they have. Well, like,
probably.
They're
who
good
knows?
Kids. I mean, they're, you know,
they try.
They're good kids, but well, what do you think of the latest in what happened between Ted Cruz and Donald Trump?
Oh yeah, the wife thing. I think that's such a cheap shot, honestly.
But you know, politics has always been that way. I mean, it's always been cutthroat and
mud throat.
Oh yeah, and it's interesting because Melania, being from Eastern Europe, right? I saw a good interview of hers on 60 Minutes. I think it was 60 Minutes or 2020, and she said, "I have a very thick skin. I know politics. They're going to pull out all the punches," and she said, "Let them do it." Just let him do it. And I think that's the way she knows from, I think, her perspective that these are not personal attacks, but just...
Do we
it's
want
just
to brief,
simple politics.
Brief our listeners
about what happened?
About
what
the wife stuff, yeah.
Do you want to...
Yeah.
Well, like...
Your meme searches will finally prove
it's not a, it was an actual tweet, but like...
Didn't Donald Trump say that, oh, I'll spill the beans on your...
It first started with...
Yeah.
Not Ted Cruz's campaign, but I think
it was
a PAC.
It was a separate super PAC called Make America Awesome. And it was a super PAC, I think, specifically against Donald Trump. And they posted a picture, a nude photo shoot, a GQ photo shoot of Trump's wife. And in the caption, it was a meme that said, you know, this is... Like, do you really want this as your next first lady? If not, then vote for Ted Cruz.
And they advertise it in Utah.
That's a cheap
yeah,
show.
Yeah. So.
That was, she's a model. He was a model.
Yeah, and so then Trump attributed that post to Ted Cruz's campaign. You know, he ended up saying, oh, like, something along the lines like lying Ted Cruz, you know, you like you're gonna mess with my wife now. Lying, yeah. He calls him lying, lion, L Y, like L Y I N apostrophe.
Lion,
Loop lion, lion Ted Cruz. You know, like I'm gonna spill the beans on your wife, is what he says.
Did Ted Cruz deny? Did Ted Cruz?
Ted Cruz then tweeted back denying that he was involved.
And did he condemn
like,
it?
You know, he's like, this is a low blow. Like,
oh, so he did condemn
it. Yeah, he's like. I'm in no way like associated with this, and like you know I don't why do you have to
did
do
did Trump
do this?
Ever spill the beans on Ted Cruz's wife?
Well, what he did I don't know what kind of Ted Cruz's wife is very accomplished. I think she's an attorney. I mean, she's really you know very accomplished in her own right. But what he did was he retweeted something that had a picture of the beautiful Melania.
Oh yeah,
and a very awful image.
It was like a nasty photo of like.
And he said, "No need to even," or he didn't say. The retweet said, "No need to even spill the beans." Like, really? Are you comparing wives here? Like, oh, look at my trophy wife versus Ted Cruz's wife, who's absolutely fine, you know. But yeah, it's
I think it's also really sad. Did anybody hear Marco Rubio's speech when he was dropping out of the campaign?
Yeah.
It was really heartfelt, I thought.
Yeah.
He said that maybe I wasn't intended to be president in 2016 and maybe never, but, you know, it shows the greatness of this country that I have been able to come this far.
Yeah.
It was very, like,
it was really, and I really loved how he said.
I think Marco Rubio is not, he's not a bad guy.
He's not a bad guy.
No,
like,
it was,
like, for all the people in politics that you can call a scumbag, I think Marco Rubio is, he at least
he's
left the.
He's also very, very establishment. Like, he,
yeah.
He
like,
is very mainstream Republican
establishment.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
he was a boy wonder, boy favorite for all the.
Yeah.
You know, he does get along with everyone. They say Ted Cruz does not.
Yeah.
Which is not a good thing.
Well, I mean,
he's
kind of creepy.
Yeah.
he looks slimy.
Have you seen that YouTube read my lips, Ted Cruz?
Oh. But like you know, like there are people that compare him to, like, they think he looks like Kevin Malone
from The Office.
From The Office.
Ted Cruz.
Oh. And, like, if you look at their two pictures put together, they kind of
look
similar.
He looks like Grandpa Munster, too.
Or like some people like put his face next to the illustration of the Zodiac Killer and tried to claim that Ted Cruz is a Zodiac Killer.
If we're going to end on a fun note,
okay.
I just need to mention, like, this before we go, like, do our ending speeches and whatnot, but, like, the Microsoft created an AI, this artificial intelligence chatbot for Twitter called Tay, and you could send messages to her, and she'd essentially learn how to talk to humans based on how humans are talking to her.
So, like, you would tweet to this
robot
Twitter account.
Okay.
And the robot Twitter account would learn how to communicate with humans based off of what you were saying.
So it learns how to think based on all the things that are being said to it.
It understands everything from, like,
and it
you
becomes
know, like,
sentient that
not
yeah.
sentient,
not sentient, but like
has a, it knows
it,
how to learn. Yeah.
It
yeah.
becomes more like conscious and starts developing its own thought process.
Within 24 hours, this robot became
racist,
a neo-Nazi sex slave who. Was
also
racist in every sort of way, anti-Semitist, and called Ted Cruz a Cuban
Hitler
who wouldn't be satisfied with only killing 5 innocent people.
And she was also feminist by the end of the day.
And how many people were talking to her?
Millions
of people were tweeting her, but, like,
there were
a lot more, like, anti-Semitic and neo-Nazi tweets that, like,
that
people were sending
overrun.
Her.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so then she assumed that, you know, like, that the Holocaust
are.
And, like,
then
you know, extermination
She thought the Holocaust was made up for a while.
Yeah. And then she said she supported genocide and all these things, and it was just like, wow, humanity, leave something with you for a while. And
you mess it
up.
Well,
but I appreciate it for her statement on calling Ted Cruz the Cuban Hitler, because
Hitler,
it's the funniest thing
ever.
Yeah. Ted Cruz is a Cuban Hitler. Yeah. Allegedly.
Do we want to do 10 seconds on who we think we're going to see at this juncture of the campaigns? Scott, do you want to start us?
Oh, who will win the generals? Is what you're saying?
Or, like, just in general, just your opinions and who you're rooting for.
If anyone.
I'm not really rooting for
anyone. Okay, just, like, this general.
Who do you think we'll see in the election?
Yeah. Oh,
like,
Trump and Hillary.
Trump and Hillary.
I'd like to see Trump and Bernie. I would be excited to watch that.
Sorry.
I'm going to say Trump and Hillary, too.
Yeah, I think. Unless the RNC manages to pull something which would allow either Kasich or Cruz to be the candidate, I think it's going to be Trump and Hillary in all likelihood.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I would love to see, like, Bernie Sanders. And
me too.
This is me being way too optimistic, but I wouldn't mind having Kasich in the White House, because, like,
I think
he's
it's
the
unlikely.
Most rational Republican on.
Yeah.
On their side, and I don't see him, like, winning this.
Well, what
not at
what
all.
I would love is a Trump Kasich ticket.
Yeah,
that's
a
what
Trump?
I think
would
have been awesome.
Be so
and
funny.
I've been saying it for a while, but people are like, "Oh, there's
no
way."
I think Kasich's too moderate to go with Trump.
I think
yeah,
Trump
they say
might
that he doesn't like
Trump. Chris Christie, though, considering he's been treating Chris Christie like a lab dog for
yeah, Chris Christie.
But they're
is
too much of the same. I think usually these
yeah.
tickets are they're taking opposite people.
Who's gonna be Hillary's running mate? I've been wondering.
I don't know.
No, I have no
we don't
idea.
Have any like.
There's no. Yeah.
It's not gonna be
there's
Joe
no,
Biden.
There's no other real like Democratic leader.
Not no. Bernie, though.
I mean, no. Bernie Sanders has said, though, if he was offered vice presidency, he'd take it.
I mean, he should.
Yeah.
Like,
he should.
If that's the deal he's getting right
yeah.
now,
then
he
should.
Go.
Yeah.
He should absolutely
even if he
go
can,
for it.
Like, wire whatever backroom discussions, manipulate things that Hillary
yeah.
can't, he should do it. I'd rather have
yeah.
Bernie as vice president than nothing at all.
For sure, Hillary will have someone that she can control.
Probably.
To me,
she's
in my opinion.
You can see someone just very, like,
yeah, yes,
she wants
a wet noodle.
Yeah,
like, just
yeah
sort of
basically,
like,
that's
yeah.
what she
not
wants.
Someone
yeah.
who has any
no,
thought
opinion
or opinion
yes.
of their
yeah,
own.
I don't
yeah.
see that happening.
Well,
all right.
Well,
thank you for having me.
We
it was
love
wonderful
you.
Having
it
you.
It yeah. was wonderful.
Yeah.
And I think this is our time to stop tonight. Thank you all for tuning in. And this is Bishops in a Bottle on OVU Radio.
And and just to clarify, these opinions are just for.
Discussion. Purely
debate.
For
yeah.
debate.
Yeah.
We don't condone any of these opinions.
And everyone is free to believe what they want.
It's 7:05, we're Bishops in a Bottle, and thank you for tuning into OVU Radio.
Good night, and bye-bye.
Good show.
That was a
great
fun show.
Fun. Okay, sorry.
Punch.
Thank you.